Good morning. This is At Issue on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson. I'm Victor Mandolia.
I'm Deborah Gilbert.
And we are going to be discussing a recent controversy that involving Columbia Memorial Health, a hospital here at the in Hudson. And we are with Tim Rogers, who is a union organizer. Is that
Hi.
Your official title?
Administrative organizer with 1199.
And three workers at the hospital, Ruth Snow, who is a patient care assistant, Tracy Smart, who is also a patient care assistant, and Cynthia Williams, a unit secretary at Columbia Memorial Health. So good morning, and thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning.
Tim, maybe you could give us a little background on what happened and the role that you played in it.
Right. So several weeks ago, the employer took an initiative to try to educate the staff on African-American heritage. When this happened, the information that the employer had posted offended a large number of the bargaining unit members, and when it got out into the community, offended a large number of the community as well. When the members brought this to our attention, we initially tried to have a meeting with the employer in a non-contentious manner to try to resolve this and express to them our concern. They had denied doing that and instead wanted to handle it through a grievance process, which we did. To date, the employer has issued a formal apology and has retracted their statements.
And we'll be hearing from Bill Van Slyke from the hospital after this little segment here.
Correct. Really what we're here for is like to make sure that the community is informed about what actually took place. The members wanted the opportunity to really inform the community on what happened and just make sure everybody knows, and also thank the community for standing by them through these hard issues.
Mm-hmm. So Ruth, maybe you wanted to tell us a little bit about your experience and what happened. Who saw the thing first?
That's
Tracy. So pull the mic nice and close.
And can you describe what it was that you saw?
Yes, my name is Tracy. When it was brought to my attention that the poster, when I first saw the poster, and I had saw several misconceptions about African American, and I pointed out to the supervisor that she cannot put that down there because it was racism and kind of stereotyping African-Americans. Mm-hmm. They did not listen. They still put the poster up. When I actually saw the full poster, I was immediately taken aback. You know, it brought up a lot of issues for myself, being an African-American woman growing up in the end towards the segregation where they was busing children from black neighborhoods to white neighborhoods. I was a part of that. So when it came upon, when we saw the poster, it was like, just brought back a whole lot of disturbing memories, mm-hmm. you know, being a child, being thrown rocks at, spit upon, eggs upon, because we were into a white community. You know, as a black woman, I have dealt with racism a whole lot of my life. When I moved up here, being here since 2015, I never thought that it would come direct, you know, just come at me again. It was very disturbing. And kind of like sucked.
Could you give us some people in our listening audience haven't seen what the boards represented. Can you give us a couple of examples of what was on the board that you found particularly offensive?
Yes. One of the parts was about communication, whereas African Americans are louder than other cultures. If you look us directly in our eyes, it's a sign of aggression. As far as our speech pattern, like instead of saying them, we say them. Instead of saying these, we say these. We take the TH and make it into a D. That is not true. As far as most African Americans value education, if you look at the latest college graduates in the last few years, you will see a lot of African Americans graduating, becoming mm-hmm. doctors, lawyers.
Sure.
Older people, black Americans going back to college, getting their education. Mm-hmm. So it's not a fact that most of us value education. We all value education, not just as black Americans, but as Americans, period.
So the things posted on this board were very
degrading
and stereotype and
racist.
Right. Okay.
You know.
Who'd like to talk a little bit about this is Ruth Snow, a patient care assistant at the hospital. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Well, my name is Ruth again. I work overnight at the hospital. After this came out, one of the night supervisor came on the floor. We was talking about it. The night supervisor came on the floor, asked us what we was talking about, and we told him that we was talking about the paper the union put out and what the other supervisor did. And he made a comment that, well, she got out of the book. And me personally, I'm like, I don't care that she got out of the book because it's wrong and disrespectful. She shouldn't have put it up. So after all that was said, he went on, he said it again. I walked away all over it. And then he said, well, let me give you a lesson in history. He's like, you know Africa? I was like, yeah. He said, the people in Nigeria is known as the N-word. I just looked at him. I was disgusted. I was ready to, like, really just hit him. But I walked away knowing that I could get myself in trouble and something would have been done about it later. So that's my story.
And you mentioned that the person who put the
poster board
up originally was a supervisor, because I think there's a blog out today that on Gossips of Rivertown that says that it was a nurse that was just sharing with her.
No, it was a supervisor that put it out.
Right. Okay. Cynthia Williams, you're a unit secretary.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about your feelings about what happened. And
when I returned to work and I seen these posters that were put up, I was so upset and so shaken, I could barely work. If it hadn't been for another secretary helping me out, I don't think I could have made it through the night. But when this was first brought to my attention by another supervisor, I had said to that supervisor, I don't think that the staff is going to go for this. And she said, I don't care. We're going to do it anyway. But, you know, go ahead and do what you're going to do. Don't hurt people. Don't harm people. And when you bring race, culture, creed, religion, and all that into your workplace, it's not kosher. It just doesn't work. Leave it alone. You should have left it. They were doing an employee, a monthly program for employees,
right.
Employee of the Month. You know, that was okay. This is so upsetting to me and so heartbreaking. You know, I could just cry over the fact that this is going on. I never thought that I would ever encounter anything like this. But, you know, in some ways, it's bringing to the light, you know, just what's going on in our community. I, in some ways, want to thank the hospital for letting us, you know, participate in this program, getting this out to the area, and having some resolution come out of this.
Right.
Everybody must be accountable for their actions, as we would have been.
Right.
And we're just hoping that nothing like this ever happens again.
So let me just ask you a little bit of the background on it. So this was like billed as like African American Heritage.
No, they were doing a monthly cultural program, and every month it would be a different culture.
And it was to help improve
employee morale, I believe.
So. And I understand that there were two previous ones. Is that correct?
Yes. I believe that they said the first one, they consulted with another employee about Jehovah Witness, which he was. And then for the second one, I believe they said it was a Greek one. And they took someone who was of the Greek culture to provide pastries and all of that stuff for them.
So it was more of a cultural thing than it was like diversity training or anything.
Right.
Like,
it wasn't supposed to be any of that. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And to me, I thought it was going to be a food thing. What I thought it was going to be, because that's what we turn it all into, you know.
Right,
and I thought we would discuss the different types of foods that these cultures embrace.
I see.
Where was this exhibit placed? Was it in the employees' lounge or in a public hallway?
It was posted on one floor. It was posted in the employees' break room. On another particular floor, it was posted in the waiting room for the patients' families.
A public lounge.
A public lounge.
Wow. what, you know, now the hospital has issued an apology. What do you think about, I mean, we'll hear from Bill Venslake from the hospital shortly, but.
To me, it still hurt because I grew up down south. To me, it still hurt. I grew up down south. 10 years I was up here, and I'm still dealing with the same thing that I dealt with down south. Uh-huh. So the apology is, it's okay, but it don't help.
Right.
The apology, I would like to think that it was heartfelt and sincere. But at the end of the day, we still need to be held accountable for our actions.
Right.
You know, I'm just hoping that, you know, the hospital, the employees, the community, that, you know, we all embrace this. We all come together. We all stand together. It's about us uniting now. Mm-hmm. It's not about us separating. We need to unite.
And we'll be talking in a later segment. Tim Rogers is going to talk about the rally that was originally meant as a protest to this action, but is still going to continue and be held as a uniting rally around anti-racism and cultural diversity.
Correct. I mean, Hudson, the amazing thing about Hudson is it's so diverse and it's so inclusive. It prides itself on people of all different backgrounds, all different lifestyles, and they come together and they stand to build Hudson up into what it is today. And I think that it's important that we continue to do that and we continue to hold people accountable and continue to grow as a city. It's mm-hmm. It's absolutely important.
Right. Any other thoughts about what happened?
I just want to say that in the end, it's our responsibility to take care of our patients, no matter what their race, what their creed, what their religion, and what their color is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of the workers, their main concern when they saw this was they don't want the community to think that this is how patients are being cared for. Mm-hmm. They want to make sure that the community understands when they come into the hospital and these workers are taking care of them, that they're going to be treated with dignity and respect, mm-hmm. just like they would expect to be. And that's why it hurt even more. And these are healthcare workers. They dedicate their life to the residents of Hudson to care for them. And to think that these residents may feel like negatively towards them is just not what they want.
Okay, can I just say one last thing? As a PCA, despite what is going on at the hospital, I would like to reiterate the fact that as healthcare workers, people that work at the hospital, we do value our patients and we would take care of them, put them first before anything that comes down the pipeline. So if you're sick, don't worry. We're going to take care of you.
And Ruth, do you have any other last thoughts about it? Okay. So we're going to take a quick break. Thank you so much. We've been here with three workers from Columbia Memorial Health, Ruth Snow, who's a patient care assistant, Tracy Smart, who's also a patient care assistant at the hospital, and Cynthia Williams, the unit secretary at the hospital. So thank you so much for joining us and telling your
and
side.
At CMH,
what's happening.
Please come unite with us next Monday night.
Right.
Yeah, we'll all be out there.
So we'll be talking a little bit more about that as we come back. This is At Issue on WGXC 90.7 FM. We'll be right back.
Seven FM.
Acra, Hudson, Catskill.
Let's talk about all the good things, talk about things that you make.
We want to know what you think. WGXC invites listeners to share their ideas, input, feedback, praise, and critiques. Email feedback at wgxc.org or drop a note at our Hudson studio at 704 Columbia Street, second floor.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Chronogram, a Hudson Valley publication covering the arts, politics, events, food and dining, health and wellness, and the home. www.chronogram.com.
This is WGXE 90.7 FM. This is At Issue. I'm Victor Mandolia.
I'm Deborah Gilbert.
And we're talking about a recent incident and stuff that happened up at Columbia Memorial Health. We're with Bill Van Slyke, who, could you tell us what your position is at the hospital?
Vice President for External Affairs and Marketing.
Great. So maybe you could give us a little bit. You heard, you were in the other room and heard what the workers had to say. So maybe you could give us a little bit of background on the hospital's feelings about it and the response that you've done.
Sure. You know, I think firstly, what the staff members just said is, I think, absolutely appropriate and true. You know, this incident has been terribly unfortunate. We're very upset about it. Myself, the entire administrative team, virtually every staff member that's aware of it, regrets it. Mm-hmm. I think it's important, you know, as we talk here, if we misunderstand each other, you know, we risk perhaps not liking each other or walking away with a false impression of one another. There's a penalty there, but it's not tremendous. In healthcare, if you fail to misunderstand something, if you make a mistake in interpretation, it can literally mean the difference in life and death between a person. So our nurses, all of them are continuing their education. They're required to, but many are seeking advanced degrees.
Does the hospital have an education department? I know some do.
We do. We do, yeah. We facilitate various ongoing education for our staff. So this effort started as a group of nurses taking coursework to become better caregivers. They were taking courses specifically to learn more about becoming a culturally competent caregiver, which is the terminology we use in healthcare. So this started as an exercise of people working on top of their jobs, doing more to educate themselves and wanting to educate each other to become more culturally competent and culturally sensitive caregivers. And it was done clumsily.
Where were they taking this course?
I think there were different schools. I'm sorry, I don't know.
St. Rose?
I'm not sure, but mm-hmm. one was pursuing a BSN. So they referred to a book called A Guide to Culturally Competent Care. It's a book that's widely used in nurse education across the country. It's a book that might be a little out of date and probably could need some review. But they pulled from this book direct quotes or some paraphrasings that should have immediately been recognizable in today's climate and today's understanding as being inappropriate, and that would absolutely fuel a hurt and indignation from people. So the folks in our on our staff who were hurt by this, they were hurt by this.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
When the staff saw it, when I saw it, when the executive team saw it, we immediately, on the 25th of June, issued an apology. We didn't do any of our fact-finding at that point, but we knew that a wrong had happened here, and we need to start addressing it and taking ownership for it as soon as possible.
Did you request that the exhibit be taken down?
It was already down. Staff had already taken it down.
We need to just stop for 1 second and play a disclaimer. We'll be right back. This is At Issue on WGXC.
Expressed on this program are not necessarily those of WGXC or Wavefarm.
And we're back.
Okay.
We have to do that every 15 minutes. So, and how did you become aware of it? Like, what was the first inkling that you got that issues were?
Well, I became aware of it in a staff meeting with the administrative leadership of the organization, mm-hmm. and I can tell you around the room, jaws were on the floor. I almost fell out of my chair. And we really couldn't believe that the judgment was so poor. And you know, what we first heard was simply the matter of the poster. So our first reaction and the first apology that was sent on the 25th, at that point we were only aware of the poster. And that, as I said, we really couldn't understand how it wasn't obvious to the folks who put it up.
Wouldn't something along this line like go through HR or some other approval process? Is it, you know,
not necessarily. Uh-huh. You know, especially when staff take it upon themselves to attend higher or to better educate themselves, to attend classes. You know, there's a certain academic freedom there, mm-hmm. and there's something to be said about the academic mind here as well, because one of our folks involved in it is pursuing a doctorate in nursing. And it's a very academic mindset. And sometimes you get caught up. And again, there's nothing I want to say that would suggest that I want to diminish in any way the true hurt, the legitimate, genuine hurt that people feel from this, mm-hmm. and our regret for that. So I'm not making excuses for that.
Right.
But trying to understand how it happened, how the judgment was off. You know, these are our people, too. Everyone, the people who were hurt, the people who put the posters together, these are our staff. These are people we care about. Mm-hmm. So we try to understand all of them. So in trying to understand that position, you think about the academic mind, and it's a very literal mind. And you can get caught up in just getting the project done and taking something from what's been heretofore a reliable source and not thinking about it, mm-hmm. you know, and not saying, okay, how would somebody else see this? And that was an error in judgment. And it was a significant error in judgment to not pull back and say, wait a minute. Because, you know, I think the nature of those statements is manifest. Anyone reasonably who reads them is going to say, geez, right. At least that's what they're going to say.
Now, one of the workers mentioned that there was something on Jehovah's Witnesses previously, and that
yeah, this
somebody
was part
else
of a series
offended,
of, part of, a series of posters.
Should there be a process where this stuff is looked at first, do you think? I mean, how will you change things going forward?
Well, I think you'll find there will be. You know, we haven't fleshed out, you know, the details of review processes. Again, we want to be very careful to respect all of our staff, especially not do anything to curtail people who are seeking, advanced degrees in nursing. Mm-hmm. You know, at some point, probably it's going to become the law. There's been legislative proposals for many years requiring right. all nurses to have BSN. So, but I can certainly imagine that there'll be processes in place to review these things.
Is that a bachelor in science in nursing?
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Has cross-cultural communication and political correctness been an issue that's been the hospital administration has been aware of and concerned about over a period of time?
No, and you know that's part of the reason that this was one of the reasons this was so troubling. I think we have a multicultural team there. Actually, if you look at the population of Greene County, Columbia County, the African-American population in Greene is about 5%, I think, or in 6%. In Columbia County, it's 5%. You know, the percentage of our staff who are of African-American heritage is 7%. So we're more than representative of our community. And we know that's essential. I mean, if you're going to care for a community, if you're going to be able to communicate with your community, you have to be able to do that, you know, legitimately and authentically. So we haven't seen any problems like this. It really comes down to a critical error in judgment and not recognizing how another perspective would absolutely appropriately, rightfully read those statements and be hurt by them.
Mm-hmm. It seems like the intent was good, but the execution was left a lot to be desired.
I think that's fair.
Now, one of the workers mentioned the supervisor who had used the N-word and sort of was adamant about having the right to use the N-word. What are your thoughts about that? Has anybody been reprimanded or fired over these issues?
Well, I can't share with you the dispositions of staff actions.
Okay. Yep.
I can tell you that we thoroughly reviewed that case. Really, there are two issues. One is with the posting of the poster itself. And maybe not everyone will agree with this, but I think that's indefensible, but it might not be unforgivable, that act. The discussion that took place between another nurse supervisor and a staff person, we found to be both indefensible and unforgivable.
Mm-hmm.
And we acted appropriately.
Are there African-Americans in management at the hospital?
It depends on how you define management. Certainly a lot of our physician leaders are African-American.
Mm-hmm. And physician leaders are what in the scheme of the
Members of the medical exec team. Committee.
I see. Okay.
So there's a high number of, and I think probably disproportionately high number of African-American physicians in the organization.
Okay. Any other thoughts? We, you know, we have as much time as you'd like. I mean, we want you to feel like you've had a full opportunity to put out the hospital's position.
No, I really appreciate the opportunity. And I don't know if our staff are still out in the lobby, and I wanted to say hello to each one of them. But if they're listening, hopefully they will take this sincerely, and I'll tell them directly. Mm-hmm. I personally regret this. I'm proud of this organization.
Right.
I joined this organization 2 years ago after working in Albany on a completely different career path for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I served on the board of this organization for a number of years prior to coming on as staff. And I was so excited to come and be part of it as a staff person to have an impact on it. So when I see them hurt like this, it hurts me. Oh. It really does.
You know, I receive all my health care at the hospital, and I just, you know, I think the staff and the hospital is just, you know, top-notch. I used to commute to Albany for all my health care, and I a few years ago, moved everything down here, and I've just been so pleased with everything here. So I think, you know, what's one of the, I think, you know, the hospital used to have a not so great reputation, but for in the past has really turned that around, and you know, I appreciate getting my services there, and it's been a great plus for me. So appreciate
Thank you very much. And you know, and for any of your listeners out there who were offended by this, I want to personally apologize to them as well.
So we have been with Bill Van Slyke, who is, again, I'm sorry, your position at the hospital.
VP of Marketing External
Sorry
Affairs.
About that. We are going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Tiffany Garriga, alderman from Hudson's 2nd Ward, and Alexis Keith, alderman from the 4th Ward, and back with Tim Rogers from 1199 SEIU. This is At Issue on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Thanks for coming.
This is At Issue on WGXC 90.7 FM, ACRA. I'm Victor Mandolia.
I'm Deborah Gilbert.
And we have been talking. We just were with Bill Van Slyke from Columbia Memorial Health, the hospital here in Hudson. And we are back with Timothy Rogers, who is
administrative organizer with 1199.
Organizer. For 1199 SEIU, the hospital workers union here in the city. And we're with Alexis Keith, who's the alderman from Hudson's 4th Ward, and also vice president, is it, of SBK, of the Staley B. Keith Foundation Social Justice Center. We're with Tiffany Garriga, who's the alderman from the 2nd Ward in the city. And do you have an official role at SBK as well?
Yes, I'm the chair of community service.
Great. We have the hospital workers who joined us earlier in the room as well. Ruth Snow, a patient care assistant. Tracy Smart, a patient care assistant. And Cynthia Williams, a unit secretary. They may chime in if there's anything that they would like to say. So, Tim, you heard the hospital's position and their response. What do you think about the response from the hospital? Does it go far enough? Is it? And I know that you've been a pivotal organizer in the rally that is to take place next Monday. Tell us a little bit about that too.
Well, the initial apology that the employer had issued on the 25th really blamed it on a group of coworkers that. Said that a group of your coworkers did this, which wasn't true. It wasn't a group of coworkers. It was people from management that had put this poster up. The apology that was issued to the workers yesterday from Jay Cahalan, the CEO, went a little bit further, absolutely, taking ownership of it. He is where the buck stops, basically, there. As far as the diversity there that the representative stated, the physicians aren't the direct supervisors of the workers. There is a concern from the workers about the diversity in management there, though.
Okay. Tell us about what the rally next Monday was supposed to be about and what it's going to be about now.
Right. So the rally originally was a candlelight vigil speaking out against racial injustice that was going on at the hospital. To that point, the hospital had taken no ownership from management for what had happened. When Jake Hanlon issued an apology and took ownership as the head of the hospital, we're moving the event more to a unity event, a celebration of unity, of diversity, and of community. We really want to invite the whole entire community to come and celebrate unity, celebrate diversity, celebrate inclusiveness. And we do ask and invite the hospital to come join with us, stand with us in unity and promote diversity.
We're going to take a quick break for a disclaimer. We'll be right back.
Know what you think. WGXC invites listeners to share their ideas, input, feedback, praise, and critiques. Email feedback at WGXC.org or drop a note at our Hudson studio at 704 Columbia Street, second floor.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of WGXC or Wavefarm.
Okay, we're back. This is At Issue on WGXC. We are, Deborah, did you have a question?
Yes. Where and when is this unity celebration taking place?
Yes, thank you. So on July 20th, that's this coming Monday, from 6 to 9 in the 7th Street Park in Hudson. We have different business owners within the area that have... they're going to donate some, like, finger food and things like that. I also ask that any organization or business in the community to come out and spend some time with the community and support the diversity and unity within Hudson. And so, this has been a conversation that's been going on so often here. I've worked with SBK on other events. We did a Black Lives Matter event. We did an event for Trayvon Martin. We did a 50th anniversary of the I Have a Dream speech. Like, these are things, and we have to keep this conversation going. We have to promote the unity. And the one great thing I said before about Hudson is it is such a diverse and welcoming community that we have to really show everyone that that's how Hudson is.
So, Alexis, you have been an 1199 member. You've
Yes.
been in healthcare. You currently work for the Mental Health Association as well as Alderman and your role at SBK, which is a volunteer organization. So tell us a little bit about your thoughts about what happened and maybe where we go from here.
Okay. Well, as you mentioned, I was a former 1199 delegate as a CNA. I began when I was 17. So to hear that employees are being treated and the patients are being treated unfairly based on cultural ideas of the culture and how they should be.
I mean, racist stereotypes,
racism,
ultimately.
It's disappointing, especially to know that our community is so small and we rely on the quality and the care of our workers at the hospital. It's just unfortunate that management was not sensitive enough to understand mm-hmm. That everyone here is affected by their misrepresentation of what they assume to be our culture. Mm-hmm. And it's just disappointing to know that our workers are there and they're giving us their all. You know, we as healthcare workers, you take on a lot and you put your patients first. That's mm-hmm. always. It doesn't matter, black, white, purple, we're all the same.
Right.
And for them to think that we should be singling out differences is pretty disheartening.
I mean, a couple of the things that weren't mentioned is that, you know, being overweight is valued in the community.
Right.
Try to involve clergy as much as possible when counseling people. Of course, there are atheists in the African American community, probably in the same proportion as any other community. So it's a little strange. Tiffany Garriga, you're an alderman from the second ward. You've been involved in social justice issues for a long time. Tell us a little bit about your thoughts.
Well, my thoughts about the whole situation is disgusting. It's terrible. And I commend these ladies for going back to work. Because, you know, I'm pretty sure if they had the means to actually not go back to work because of the situation, I'm pretty sure they would do so. But because, you know, they rely on their income, they have to go back to work and deal with these situations. My thoughts on this is bigger because it was brought to the light and now we are talking about it. We're going to have a visual or get together and it's like, wake up. Are you serious? Wake up. If these people didn't speak up about what's going on in the hospital, we're all talking about it like, oh my goodness, they just posted something on the wall. If they posted something on the wall, that means they had confidence to do it. That means they've been talking amongst their employees about how they feel about our race that is connected to all races, not just in this city, in this country, and all around the world. So how dare you?
Earlier in the show, we learned that the supervisor who mounted the exhibition that was so offensive took the material from a textbook. And if anything, I've learned that kids are taught in school critical thinking. And just because something is printed, written in black and white, it doesn't mean it's the truth. Do you have anything to say about that?
Yeah, you're talking about children in a book, and we're talking about adults that have to fill out an application. We're talking about adults that took some type of oath for patient care. So we're talking about adults that have policy and regulations that are being taught to respect all. So this is a totally different subject from just giving an excuse of, oh, I just took this out the book. No, that's an excuse. You're a grown adult and you know exactly what you're doing and you should be held accountable. Period, point blank. There's no, it's like.
Take this one.
I just want to say that everything you read, you don't believe. And everything you read, you don't post for everyone else to read it and try to force them to believe it. If you put these things up for the public to view, obviously you believe what you posted.
And I used to work as a CNA because for some reason that is like the main job that is offered out here, CNAs, PCAs, and LPNs. And I worked as a CNA, and you are taught when you sign that contract and when you begin to work, that you will be dealing with patients who are elderly and stuck in their old ways, and to accept their criticism and to accept their racism because they are old people, they are senior citizens, they're on their way out. This is what we were taught. This is what I was taught as a CNA. But to take that type of disrespect from someone that you're working with, not for, it's ridiculous. It's utmost respect. And because someone decided, oh, we're caught, let me type up an apology letter, we're supposed to accept that and say kumbaya? I don't think so. More should be done. Someone, I hear conversations from the street, and someone said, oh, this nurse, I don't know the exact title, they had to go to a training so many times. And I'm like, I just heard that. I heard this is their seventh time. How many chances do we give somebody with this type of attitude? Because guaranteed, if one of us, African-American, Hispanic, and so forth, said anything negative about a Caucasian, we would have been fired. There wouldn't have been no candlelight visual or nothing.
So, I mean, I had heard that this supervisor has actually had to go through diversity training a number of times. Can anybody speak to that? Does anybody know about that? If you can't, it's fine.
My name is Tracy. I don't know about her going through diversity training several times, but if there has been several times, they might need a refresher course in the training that they're given. Right. What I would like to say is that this so-called academic book that she got it out of, I don't care what book you got it out of. At the end of the day, you had to read what you put down.
Right.
And it was okay with you to put that down. Furthermore.
Well, even one of you, I mean, was it you that said that, told her that you thought it was offensive before it was posted?
Offensive.
Right.
Even so, it wasn't nursing staff. It was one particular individual. Okay.
As nursing administrator.
The director of nursing. Furthermore, no African Americans was offered to indulge it, to participate in this cultural event besides giving food because of what the soul food context is. Let me explain to you, because now I'm kind of getting angry about it. Okay. Let me explain to you what soul food is. Soul food is not collard greens, chicken wings, and all that good stuff. Soul food is what we did as African Americans in slavery times in the 20s and the 30s till we sat around a table with our families to make sure to see how each other was doing and to share our day. That's what soul food is about. Soul food is about loving your family,
mm-hmm.
not just about collard greens and chicken wings.
Right.
Okay, getting together as a family.
So one of the big issues for you is that,
and that's not in the book.
But one of the big issues is that no African Americans had a seat at the table when the materials that were being put forward. I mean, it's a little strange to have a white person writing about African American heritage. I mean, that's very odd.
Because I can't tell you
it can't be done.
And you can't tell me how to be black.
Right.
Okay. That's one of the other things. Another thing is, wait a minute. Hold up. I wrote it down.
Well, we can come back. We can come back to it.
So, I mean, really, it comes down to, at the end of the day, the importance of making sure that people are educated about the actions that they're taking. Don't just read something and accept it as, like, the truth. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to have an informed conversation, especially in the changing nature of what's going on throughout this nation. Like, there's fights going on everywhere. When I say fights, it's a fight for protections. It's a fight for dignity. It's a fight for respect. I mean, we see the things that are going on. This Friday, it's the one-year anniversary for Eric Garner. Why are we still having this conversation over 50 years after I Have a Dream?
Because it's still going on, and a lot of people, minus you, are not acknowledging it and do not want to accept it, want to pretend it's not even happening, want to put blame on African Americans and saying it's their fault. This is the reason why it's happening. We need more people like you, Tim Rogers, that are awake and aware and want to get that message out there and across, not just in this city, but throughout this country. You know, with these incidents and horrible things that's been going on with unarmed African Americans throughout this country, people have just been saying, oh, well, that's not happening in Hudson. That's not happening. If you don't know what's actually happening in Hudson, unless you come out, come to these meetings, talk to the people, and find out, because it is going on in Hudson. Look what's happening right now.
We're
going to
take a quick break. This is At Issue on WGXC 90.7 FM, ACRA.
On this program are not necessarily those of WGXC or Wavefarm.
Yeah.
And we're back.
Thank you. Thank you for your comments, Tiffany. Absolutely. One of the reasons that I took the job with 1199 SEIU is because we're a social justice union. These are the fights that we fight. We're extremely passionate about diversity, about inclusiveness. 1199 is also doing a rally down in the city for Eric Garner's one-year anniversary. We're helping support that. We're helping sponsor that. This is something that we're passionate about and we continue to do because it affects so many of our members and the workers within healthcare. It has to stop. I mean, Barack Obama said, enough with the conversation, time for action. People have to step up and take action. They have to join together. And that's why we're moving this to a unity event. We're moving this to a celebration of unity. Come together. Come join us. And let's stand together and demand change. No more conversation. Let's start making some action now.
Can you tell us about Eric Gardner?
So Eric Gardner was a situation that happened down on Staten Island. Was merely standing on the street doing absolutely nothing wrong and bum-rushed by a group of police officers, put into an illegal chokehold, and lost his life. As sitting there saying, I can't breathe, I can't breathe.
And the crazy thing about it is that the police used the excuse that he was selling a loose cigarette when it was on video and recorded that the young man that recorded it, who actually passed away, it was recorded, and he said to the police, all he did was break up a fight. You came over here bothering because he broke up a fight. Because they saw they was being recorded, they used the excuse of, it's a cigarette. Now, my family and I marched with SBK members and community members from Hudson. We marched across that Brooklyn Bridge with Eric Gardner's family, along with many other families that were carrying wooden caskets to represent. We also went to Washington, D.C., and was with Eric Gardner's wife and his family. His son was also here in Hudson when we talked about the Minority Task Force. It's just crazy to me. It's like a nightmare. I was born into a nightmare because here I am, 36 years young, and I have to teach my children that this racism that I was taught is still occurring today. And what's happening in the hospital, it was brought to the light, yes. But what? Imagine these other places of employment that is same thing is happening, but they are afraid to speak up and speak out. We need to help them as well.
One thing that the Eric Gardner situation has in common with this situation here at the hospital is that somebody recorded it with their cell phone. And that's how I got to see the exhibit, and Victor, I'm sure, and many others. Even though it's down, it's still out there in digital form. And that is a force for justice.
Alexis, where do you see going from here? How could, in your opinion, the hospital improve the situation? How could you get to we have to understand that like racism is systemic in all institutions. So, where do you see the bigger picture? How do you change things globally and locally?
I think locally, the hospital needs to think about really working closely with the community, working with 1199, working with their staff, and remembering that they can only operate with their staff and the people that are in our community. It's a community hospital, and we have to respect everybody. And if that means that they need to provide trainings or bring an outside trainer in to bring this cultural sensitivity training, bring in more management, minority management.
African-American.
We have so many educated people that are looking for jobs that can't have, are having hard times finding. They should go out and actively recruit from our diverse population and from our outside areas. I mean, we can have so much. We have so much diversity here in our community. We should embrace it all. And because the hospital is such a big employee of our city, they should definitely consider listening to their employees, because without them, they can't operate.
For the workers here, do you see African Americans advancing at the hospital, or do you think it's a problem?
It's a problem at the hospital. Uh-huh. It is.
So, do you feel that when you start there, you're kind of stuck in the positions that you're in, or are you able to advance in any way, or is it just stuck? To your knowledge, is there any African American management?
No, none at all. Not even one.
Right.
Is there any Hispanic management?
No.
When he said he included the doctors as administration, I don't believe they're administration. They're employees just like we are.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I don't think that they're protected by the union or anything.
Uh-huh.
But to me, my knowledge, there is not any. Any other cultures that are in administration.
So no people of color at all in administration.
No. I just want to say, right, you talked about listening to your staff. You're not listening, because if you were listening, that poster would have never went up. As far as employment is concerned at the hospital, let's take a look and where all the minorities are placed at in the hospital. In the kitchen, dietary, PCAs, unit secretaries, and housekeeping. Mm-hmm. There's not one African American, not one Spanish person that's in management, the upper upper levels, mm-hmm. none. So if you really wanted to get into, like, try to benefit the community and diversify, let's put some brown and some black up in there.
Because they are educated and from a lot of colleges.
Truly.
Okay? They are educated black people. You know, they have, all they have to do is recruit. I agree with Alexis Keith, what she was saying. In my opinion, I would talk to the employees, figure and respect what they're saying. Listen to all who have affected them with racism, because maybe you have employees there that have been dealing with this for so long, and now is their opportunity to speak. So you need to, my opinion, get all your African Americans and everyone else that is of color, of race, and get them together, figure out where the problems are coming from, and then work your way up the ladder and get rid of those people and bring in some people in. Because if the hospital is mainly known as people dying and they're caring for our loved ones, why would you want to break their confidence down to care for our loved ones? It makes no sense to me.
Well, in the end, I just want to say, you know, thank you for allowing us to be here. My name's Cynthia Williams, employee at the hospital. And for the most part, you know, I enjoy my job and I do love working there. I love taking care of the patients. I love a lot of the staff that I work with, truly and honestly.
And we commend you for that, because to see that there, I know it's a hard day to work.
It was. The first couple of days back to work, it was absolutely horrible for me. I was feeling depressed. I was feeling angry. I was feeling upset. I wanted to cry. But I put all my emotions aside and still had to do my job.
Isn't this amazing what black people have to always do? Every time we have to go through these type of situations, we have to turn the other cheek. We have to swallow our pride. We have to get up and go back to work. And you keep coming to us decades after decades, and what do you want to see change? How can we change? Are you kidding me? Read the same books and find out how do we change it. Because this is ridiculous. Why do we always have to put our head down and feel shame? Why? We didn't do anything wrong. We work hard like something? Everybody else.
Tracy, did you have something?
Yeah, I just want to say thank
you. Get to the mic.
I want someone to say thank you for letting us have a voice here. And also, just like Cynthia, I do love my job. I do love taking care of people, and I'm very good at it. Just want to let y'all know that. My patients love me. And I just hope that after all this is said and done, that we as a community, as a hospital in the community, can come to some point of understanding and accepting of one another, regardless of age, race, sexual identity, whatever. Just be there for one another, as we were supposed to be from mm-hmm. the get-go.
Right.
And I also want to I applaud you all also for being able to continue to work, because healthcare is such a hard job to be able to put your heart, you know, you may walk in, your back might be hurting, but you're still there for your patients all day. You put a smile on your face, and no one can train you on how to do that. So for you all to be able to still be able to stand up and show your patients that you're better than management, I appreciate you all for that.
Ruth, did you have something?
Okay, so I'll get some last. My name is Ruth. I do the overnight shift at the hospital, so I'm a night bird. So I want to say thank you to all my overnight staff for supporting us through all this, and for everybody else doing it too. Thank you.
Great. So Tim, maybe, you know, why don't we come back to the rally and tell us a little bit again, you know, when it is, and really what do you think, how do you see it going, like where do you see the thing shifting?
Right, so I mean, again, the rally is going to be on July 20th, that's this coming Monday, in the 7th Street Park from 6 to 9. Our envision of this is really to have a large, diverse group of people come. We have different people coming to speak. We're going to have different people from the political side of Hudson, from different social issue sides of Hudson coming out to speak. And we invite all the community to come. Like, any, like, we would ask Etsy to join. We would ask the hospital to join us. We would ask any organization to come out and join forces to speak out for unity and for diversity within Hudson, which Hudson is an extremely diverse community. Mm-hmm. It prides itself on it. I mean, there's it's steeping with history of ups and downs throughout history here. And it's time that we really come together and stand together.
Are organizations invited to, like, get information about their own groups together, or how is it going to go?
Absolutely. I mean, we would invite any organization. We invite SBK to do any education that they can. We invite any organization to come and join in, as well as any business owners to come and show their support for diversity, their support for inclusiveness, their support of unity within this community, throughout the county, throughout the state, and throughout the country.
Right. Now, and again, just tell us when it is again.
Exactly. July 20th from 6 to 9 in the 7th Street Park.
Okay. Tiffany and Alexis, you both co-chair the diversity subcommittee. So the thing is that, you know, this is not
that
just...
you are also on.
Well, I mean, I'm a member as well. But the diversity subcommittee of the Common Council is looking at ways of increasing minority representation in basically in municipal, in the city government and county government. So obviously, this isn't just a problem of private business. It's a problem that has been identified as a bigger issue in municipal government as well. That in the city, on the city level, African Americans in general are manual laborers, work for the Department of Public Works. There's you know, there are no black commissioners. There's no, you know, that kind of stuff. Do you see the connection and I mean, it's sort of what this is we're looking at here. It's the same
it's
story.
It's definitely time for change overall. We all, overall as a city, we need to take a grip on what this racism means to our community and how it divides us and how we all need to come together. Like we've all talked about today, we need to come together and find some type of understanding about each other and have some cultural sensitivity and understand we all live here in these 2 square miles together, and we need to be able to work and live together, period.
You know, I just want to, you know, the listeners out there can't see what's going on here, but, you know, the workers are really emotional. They're hugging each other, crying. You know, this has really been a traumatic thing for you. I mean, this is not a small thing. I mean, I can see the emotions that are involved in you.
It's ridiculous.
It's incredibly powerful to see here.
This is what all African Americans are feeling and dealing with on a daily basis. It's ridiculous. I thought by the time I would become an adult, I would talk about racism to my children. Oh, this used to happen. It's not like this now. You know, you have a fair chance now. No, it's the total opposite.
Right.
And I cry over that. So, you know, of course they're emotional. Of course they're upset. Who wouldn't be? I mean, you are, as a white person, because you have a heart and you have sensitivity, and you can say, oh, this must be wrong. This is upsetting. But you cannot actually feel what we're feeling.
So we're going to have to leave it there. I want to thank our guests today. This has been At Issue. I'm Victor Mandolia.
I'm Deborah Gilbert.
And I want to thank our guests. We've been with Tim Rogers, who's with 1199 SEIU, Ruth Snow from the hospital, a worker at the hospital, Tracy Smart and Cynthia Williams, who are also workers at the hospital. We've been with, we had Bill Van Slyke from Columbia Memorial Health on earlier. And we are also with Alexis Keith and Tiffany Garrigo, aldermen from the 2nd and 4th wards here in Hudson. We really appreciate the conversation. I appreciate all of you coming down and being a part of this conversation. Thank you to Bill Slyke for coming forward as well. This conversation would have been not as productive.